The Inspectors General community is producing more than twice as many indictments and criminal investigations today than it did 20 years ago. In 2013, IGs from 78 different offices processed 19,000 of them, and in 1995, they only did 8,000. Kim McCabe is founder of Value Storm Growth Partners, former deputy director of the Office of Business Transformation at the Department of Defense, and says greater oversight is paralyzing agencies because they're too afraid to make a mistake. Kim, it's great to talk to you again. You and I have talked about this idea, the concept of being fearful of mistakes before. How is it, in your view, manifesting itself in Inspector General activity? Thanks for being on today, my friend.
Yeah, thanks so much. Well, it's really a problem, and it's disturbing, because what we have generally in our community are people who are very oriented toward public service. And by the way, that includes the IGs. But what's happened over time is that we've become so focused on using oversight to try to solve every problem that folks are now just afraid. And on the government side, they're afraid to talk to contractors. And the contractors are afraid to talk to government and get involved with the IGs as well. So it's really caused a freeze on communications, particularly in the acquisition community, but now it's bleeding into program and also between contractors and their customers.
Do we have a sense of what's driving this increase in activity that you write about? We have your piece in FCW linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, and you cite the numbers that I mentioned as you came on the program. Do we know what's really driving that, though? Is it whistleblowers calling and communicating with IG offices a lot more than they did in the past? Is it people inside the Inspector General offices who are just deciding to initiate these investigations more? Do we know why this is happening?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to a couple of previous IGs when I was writing this because I wanted to understand their perspective, and I heard a couple things. One was that, the transparency that we have now because of the websites and so forth, so many more folks are coming forward with concerns that they're looking into. I mean, they had a 619,460 hotline complaints in 2013, which is an astonishing number. But the other thing I would say, which is a bit more less complimentary, is it's starting to feel a bit more like a quota system. They have funding they're trying to use and requirements to investigate they're trying to meet, and we know what kind of behavior that drives. So I think it's a combination of those two things, that the focus, the congressional focus on oversight, and the belief that oversight is in fact going to solve our problems.
You mentioned one of my favorite campaigns that a government office has undertaken, and that's the Mythbusters campaign back in 2011. Dan Gordon initiated that, and the goal of that was to separate fact from fiction about the interactions that companies could engage in with procurement offices and vice versa. How do you see that fitting in with either for or against what's going on in IG offices, Kim?
It's honestly just not having an effect, Francis. If you talk to folks, what they will tell you is that folks are aware of it. It's not that folks are not hearing about it. I think OMB has done a tremendous job over the years, including now. Ann Rung and Leslie Field and others are really trying to push to create more communication. But as I said in the article, well-founded fear cannot be overcome by well-meaning efforts. And the risk aversion is learned, and it's learned based on the effects that people are facing as a result of these IG investigations. Let me give you two examples. One is an individual, a senior procurement official, just last week shared with me that due to a recent IG investigation in which they were involved, they will literally, quote, never again meet with a contractor, but rather ask a non-SES to hold the meetings. And additionally, they shared with me that none of their subordinates intend to seek SES positions due to the risk. It just gives you a sense of it's not just on the contracting side, it's on the federal side that they're very concerned about the potential of the perception of impropriety. And it's driving a hush over the entire federal system.
Yeah, I think anybody that pays attention to those issues on either side of the equation can understand both sides of it, can understand why that person that spoke to you took the position that he or she took, and also understand why that's such a bad deal for both sides, for both the government and the contractor side, Kim.
It absolutely is. And I would say that I think that on both sides, there have been really tremendous efforts to try to overcome this. But honestly, the risk is real, and it's so high on an individual level. Another example is a friend of mine who's the CEO of a small firm. Due to administrative error, there was a question about some of their company's invoices. And after a couple of brief discussions, it was clear that there had been a misunderstanding and they agreed to terms of repayment. But the investigation didn't stop. They landed in their offices for several years. It cost them millions. The investigation ended up resolving in finding of no wrongdoing, and they agreed to the same repayment that they had agreed to years prior. And really, the individual was so disillusioned, they ended up selling their company and leaving the federal market. And this person is not alone. This happens relatively frequently. It's just too hard. It's too risky. It's too costly.
You write in this piece, media discourse is beginning to openly raise questions about the issues with the current IG structure and processes. And you cite the case that took place regarding a former employee at the Department of Veterans Affairs, now at the Treasury Department. You write, a VA IG report concluded the procurement official's guilty of misconduct. Treasury ID said IG says she's not. And you write about some of the fallout with that. And I encourage folks to read that story at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We have a link to Kim McCabe's piece in FCW there. You write, observers in the federal community watching that case closely in the hope that it'll catch the eye of an authority that will help rebalance the scales in favor of a less punitive approach. What would a less punitive approach look like? Or is it not even a structure issue? Is it just scaling back on the volume and scope of some of the work the IGs are doing, do you think, Kim?
Yeah, I think that it's time for us to stop allowing due process to give way to presumption. I think it's time for the IGs to start to determine, you know, what DEFCON level these investigations are so that they can start to triage the way that they do in hospitals and start to have a process that is more transparent, number one. Number two, wherein they really do allow for these things to escalate at a reasonable rate. And to have conversations with the individuals so that they understand how they might be able to resolve these, especially administrative issues. Because as I said in my piece, what we're finding is administrative issues, things that we would have dealt with very simply in the past, are now being dealt with criminally. And so we need to have a method by which we can have these escalate over time, and only for those things that really are warranted. One of the things I read, there was a recent report actually came out yesterday from the IBM Center for the Business of Government, and Dan Chenick, as always, and his team were very thoughtful and thorough and productive in their approach to talking about success factors for driving positive engagement between IGs and Congress and agency leadership. And in there, it actually talked about the history of the IGs. One of the things that it talked about was that in the 1970s, one of the goals was for the IGs to address perceptions of substantial fraud and to respond to widespread mismanagement. I would challenge that that is, in fact, in force. I actually am observing that the increased oversight is just and now at a feverish rate of probes, and it's just causing fearful paralysis across the whole system.
You write, earnestly working to establish a more just and balanced approach would allow the IG community to continue its noble quest of ensuring integrity while beginning to mend the injured federal culture so we can all focus on what's most important, mission delivery, value, and service to our country. The IG community is in a constant state of trying to re-examine itself. One of the things that they're supporting is a bill from Senator Grassley that you mentioned in this piece, the Inspector General Empowerment Act of 2015. What's your thought on that, on how it might provide some of the remedies that you're writing about in this piece, and how it might overall affect the outcomes that you're worried about?
Well, I think actually would have a concern about it, which is that, as I understand the direction of the conversations, that it's moving, actually defaulting back to increasing oversight and increasing the authorities of the IG. And I think that if we don't have a process in which we ensure that there is due process and the presumption of innocence, which right now I would tell you many believe who engage in these activities, many believe is absent from this process, I think that continuing to default to increase in the authorities of the IGs is just going to continue to further the problem that we have in this area.